Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You can learn a lot by listening to your elders. You should stay a while and listen. This is Core. Everyone dies.
Ugh, that's a little dark. I mean, it's true, but it's dark. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Core. This is Core. We're here to talk about Heroes of the Storm. It's Wednesday, June 27th, 2018. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. We're diving right in, man. Diving right in. Hey, we got new shirts. Hold on a second. Let's get this camera out a little bit. All right, Bo and John, you are wearing Horde and Alliance jerseys sent to us by Blizzard Entertainment, the Heroes team. These came out of nowhere. The backs of them have these cool, what do you call it? Bo's flexing. He's a Bowflex. That's great.
I'm swole.
Nice.
Hold on.
I like that Scott makes the Bowflex joke and then just backs away from the microphone. I'm done. Yep. I'm out.
Yep.
Bowflex was too good. I don't need to be on the show anymore.
Had to drop the mic. So we get these. They came with a letter. The letter says, you can't go into battle for your faction without the proper attire. Enjoy the surprise and remember, for the Horde, mine says, I assume Bo says for the Alliance or something. Yeah,
it says, hey, don't let this decision get you down.
Yeah, don't be too bummed out about being the only.
I didn't decide anything. They knew what I was Alliance and sent it to me. I didn't have to ask.
No, they asked. You didn't. She asked all of us what our favorite thing was or what our favorite faction was. And then
she
we told them.
Me.
She didn't ask you? Or maybe she asked me.
Looks like she doesn't have to ask Bo.
No, I think what happened is now that I think about it, now I remember, she asked me to confirm everybody's faction preference, and I told her you liked Alliance. That's what it was.
I got asked as well.
Yeah.
So I would have laughed if Bo had gotten Horde. You should have just said we're all Hordies over here.
I mean, the red ones looked really good, but people have already commented on how nice they look. They make us look like we're in... like on an esports team, we look like a Heroes team a little bit with these things on because they're like legit jerseys. They're super cool.
And it's got a V-neck on it.
Yeah, look at that. You can kind of see it on Bo.
I think the first time I've worn a V-neck.
Yeah, ever?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't like V-necks.
Welcome to the party. Wait, why?
Why don't you like a V-neck? What's up with that? What's up with that?
What's wrong with the circle neck that you need a V-neck for? Like, it's a real Seinfeld thing, but I'm like, what was wrong with the circle neck? That we gotta have a V-neck now?
Well,
what's next?
You just mean in general?
A Y-neck?
You mean
I think that probably exists.
You mean like generally speaking, why is there a V-neck at all? Is what you mean, right?
Yeah.
Not in this case.
I just look at it and go, it's not a shirt. And I go to the shirt I've been wearing all my life, which is the one with the hole for my head.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Mo just doesn't know why we invented this technology. He's like, you got the hole.
Like, what's it for?
We're done.
Like,
why did we feel the need to improve on it?
Like, I get, you know, there's shirts. Again, women wear a variety of tops with different, you know, cuts and things like that. But the V-neck, it's still up on my neck.
Yeah.
Like, why did it? Why did we have to make it an angle?
I love that this is the perplexing part of this. We get these rad shirts. They're super cool. And obviously you like the shirt. You're into the shirt. But it's like you and the bush and the food and the bush and the Reinhardt walking by. It's just Bo thinks of things we don't think of. And that's fine. You know what? I've never asked the question, why are V-necks even a thing? I don't know. I'm kind of with you. What's the deal? Let's just make them all round. I don't know why there's a little V there. Somebody likes it.
I don't know. The V.
But is it just a style choice or is there practicality to it? That's my question.
Like it elongates my neck and makes me look less dumpy.
If you're a hairy guy, maybe you can get some voluptuous chest hair out of there, out of the V.
That's not an issue for me.
All right, me either. I'm like a baby.
That doesn't help me in that regard.
I mean, I've got the hair for it.
Yeah.
That's what we want to do.
Definitely have the frozen video.
Not that much.
Is his video frozen for you?
Yeah, it is. I was like, Bo's like getting strangely intense about this V-neck discussion.
Because you're talking, we hear you, but your face is frozen.
All right. Well, maybe it'll catch up at some point.
Yeah, we'll let
it. If not, I might drop from the call and come back.
We'll let it slide. It's totally fine.
I mean, I think it froze at a perfect spot.
It looks pretty good.
I think it's very good.
It's like consternation written on that face. Anyway, big, big thanks for the faction pride that we're all feeling now to Blizzard. Honestly, we didn't know why they were asking what our preference was. So to see that pop up in the mail was a lovely surprise. And that was really nice of them. So thanks, guys. I'll probably wear mine to BlizzCon this year at some point. Have it on during the proceedings and show my horde bias where everyone can see my bias hanging out. Yeehaw! All right. All this focus on Horde versus Alliance, though, in Heroes has been fun, right? We've been enjoying it. I think a lot of us, well, I think John, I speak for John and I at least. Oh, Bo, you're moving now. I see you now.
Hi.
I don't know what your camera was doing. There... There was you thrown me. I can't remember what I was saying.
So blinding.
Everybody's on kind of a World of Warcraft hibernation until their new content comes out in August. So there's not feeling a lot of Horde versus Alliance love over there, but nicely it's showing up in Heroes of the Storm. Even though there's really little consequence in a game like Heroes, but it's still a cool thing. So I like this event. I think it's going all right. However, that said, John thinks we need a Sylvanas and Anduin announcers, more faction pride items, that kind of stuff. Tell me more. Why do you want those two in there? Why do we need whiny Anduin yelling about the cores getting attacked? Why is that a thing you want in your life?
For balance.
Yeah.
It's so we can get an amazing announcer in Sylvanas. And we can keep the Alliance happy by saying, and we gave you Anduin, too.
Why did I think she was already in here as an announcer? Why was I thinking that?
I think because she's been a hero for forever.
Yeah, it just feels like she should be in there, and I just didn't have her.
Would make sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit weird.
So I would like a Sylvanas, announcer, and now that she's our War Chief proper, for good or for bad... I feel like they should give her some voice lines to go along with it. I think we need that for the Horde in there, really loud and ringing.
Yeah.
As a taunt. I think it's time to lean in to these faction leaders and give us more stuff.
All right, Bo, make an argument for Anduin. How would he sound? He'd get up there and go, Dad, I think I can do it. Give me your sword. I don't know what I'm doing. How would Anduin go?
Hopefully Anduin dies a swift death. That's fine with me.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Anduin, not the reason to like Alliance.
Okay, that is not what I expected. I figured you'd be a staunch Anduin supporter for some reason.
You could turn around. That armor is pretty badass looking. The Brad Pitt moment was all right.
Yeah.
He looks pretty sweet in that trailer.
Yeah.
I haven't seen or heard of any of the BFA content. Battle for Azeroth? Yeah, BFA. So, I don't know. Maybe he'll be cool. But as it stands today, up to the end of Legion, Anduin...
Let's
Let's make quick work of Anduin and get a real faction leader in there.
Oh wow!
I like the part of the cinematic where Greymane is hovered over something and he says, "Anduin, you stay back now." And Anduin just keeps going, "What's in the box? What's in the box?"
Now, boy, Greymane, boy, you stay back. You stay back. You don't want to see this, boy. That's totally how that went. Yeah. And in the box was a green mist from his dad's whatever. All right, so here's the thing about Anduin. BFA doesn't stand for Battle for Azeroth. It stands for Big Effing Anduin. So I actually kind of like him. I'm not a fan of the Alliance necessarily, but I like how he's stepping up. He's Manduin now, and he's going to kick some A. So, Bo, I see your criticism and raise you a, I think he's a fine faction leader and is going to do just great down the road. You wait and see, buddy. I'm really squaring off like a guy in the schoolyard here. It's a real bully moment.
His voice actor is the one who read the new Christie Golden book, if you got it in audiobook form.
Yeah, and, he is. Did you read it, by the way? Did you finish it, is what I meant?
I did.
Yeah, and your give me your overall take, spoiler-free take. How did it go there for you?
Spoiler-free take, I enjoyed it. I think Christie Golden does a very good job in the Warcraft universe. I don't know that it sold me on this conflict as much, but it made me understand why everybody's freaking out about Azerite, which up to this point has been, you know, cinematics of people looking at a thing going, oh, this is great. Mm. Once you can get in their heads during those moments, you get a better idea of why they care about this. So it was enjoyable.
Here's a sample of Josh Keaton, who plays Anduin. Here's him reading.
Pieces of equipment clanking perilously against one another. I hate sand, he continued. I hate the sun. And really.
It sounds like Gazlo or something. Is that who he's doing?
Yeah, that's him doing the voice of a goblin.
A goblin? Okay, that makes sense. Well, they really
goblin voices are actually on we'll say fleet, because I can't think of another word.
Oh, this is... Okay, never mind.
Sorry. What? What?
I saw there's a video, an auto-tune video about I hate sand because Anakin says that in one of the prequel movies.
Yeah.
And it's like, I hate sand. I hate sand. I hate that sand so much. You know, it's just, anyways. That audio thing they reminded me of it. I was like, is this Star Wars?
Wow.
I hate sand.
That's fantastic. Well, he was known, Anakin did say he hated sand, right? When he was talking to Padme about their future together, and he was like sitting in the sand talking about how he hates it. And
yeah, that's what it's from. Anyways, I'll link it to you after.
Gets in his swimsuit and all that stuff. He was saying,
"Yep, I hate sand."
Yeah,
Padme.
It gets in my crotch. Anyway, there's that. Hey, let's talk about what's going on. There's some changes today, little ones, lots of them though, in today's patch. Which I watched gleefully as it came down, thinking, hey, maybe there's something good in here. So let's find out if there was. Patch day in the Nexus. Lots of little changes. Here are your highlights. Rhaegar getting some buff to his heals. That's pretty good, both to his chain heal and his ancestral healing, which is one of his ultimates. Healing talents buffed across the board. I was not aware that Rhaegar was in the dumps when it came to his healing abilities. I haven't seen him much, and maybe that's why, but... good changes, you guys figure? What do you think, Bo? Rhaegar getting his comeuppance there. And Bo's frozen.
Can he not hear you anymore?
I can't hear you guys, but I'm having trouble with Discord. It's funny, I'm not having trouble with any other software. I don't know what it is.
Oh, weird. I don't know either.
You can't hear our response, so I'm sorry.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, it just kicks in. It kicks in for a few seconds and then stops.
Oh.
I can't explain it. It's like,
I don't know what that is.
We run 3 hours on the weekend with zero problems, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't either. There was an update where they added some their games tab in there, and maybe it's fiddling with somebody's stuff, but I don't know. It's weird. That's just the kind of luck we got. Okay, so Rhaegar, you like his changes? What do you think?
He was becoming an unfavored pick for the most part, and it looks like, I think the complaint with Rhaegar has always been that like he's both for support, he does a lot of damage, has a lot of output, so they've been peeling that back, but they also peeled back his healing. So this sort of bumps up the healing side of him a little bit, which I think is going to put him more in his role. I don't know, it's good. If he sees more play, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I like Rhaegar.
Nothing in here screams like he's going to be, top pick all the time kind of thing. Although, maybe, but
that's a little stuff.
A lot of good support options now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's there. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't play him enough to look at these and say, oh, it's clearly going to do this. But it definitely seems like they want to try to push him away from the one trick pony. Like you're there to do an ancestral at a clutch time. And other than that, I guess do other Rhaegar things.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if that works.
That's true. Like lately, I feel like if you see Rhaegar, he's just in there to bully people and do the whole dog bite thing and bloodlust and all that. Like doesn't seem like much of a support, not in a traditional support way. So this brings him back in line maybe with some of that stuff. Phoenix got some changes. His level scaling went from 4.25 to 4%. Why? That's lower though. That's not good. That's a nerf, isn't it? Isn't that lower?
That's a pretty big nerf. He's actually seeing seeing some pretty steady nerfs across a lot of his abilities.
Well, that's I didn't realize I thought he was in a good place. Shows what I know. Like his win rate looked average to me. I don't see anything too crazy going on with him. I mean, I don't know. I don't get it.
I know that our friend Gizmozord has been doing nothing but climbing. I think I read that he got into platinum off of just playing Phoenix games nonstop.
Whoa.
Which is pretty crazy. Phoenix is really strong. I think the problem that you run into with Phoenix is there's a lot of characters in this game that require a lot of skill to execute and play very strongly. And people tend to avoid those heroes pretty frequently because, it's hard to do. And that's why you see characters like Vala remain very popular for a long period of time and all of that. I think Phoenix is one of those characters that you play Phoenix, you understand how he works. He's easy for just about anybody to get on and be effective.
Yeah.
And be strong with. And so I think the people who can take him that next step are really overperforming with him.
Bo, your favorite build is the E build. Does any of this?
Yeah. It's not a top performing build or a popular build, but I just like, there's one where on kills, you reset the cooldown of warp, turning Phoenix into Genji kind of. And then when you warp, you get, instead of 125% attack speed to the pew pew pew, not the big balls. I forget their names. The repeater cannon is now increased to 175%. 175% increased attack speed.
Wow.
It's crazy. You warp, because whenever you're warping, there's always this fake out thing you do where you're like, I'm going to warp away because I'm taking too much damage. Psych! I'm in your face! Pew, 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 pew. And it's really fun. thing to do, so they're just making that even easier to do, so I'm happy with that as a Phoenix player. I don't know if I like being on the receiving end of that, but we'll see.
Yeah, that sounds rough. 175% increase, that's gotta
be the crazy
be,
thing is yeah. His scaling is down to 4% from 4.25,
right? And
that's pretty, I didn't realize he had a 4.25 scale.
What does that mean for those
I'm gone,
who are aren't I? No, you're here. Do you hear us?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I think Bo's internet.
Oh, you can hear me? Okay, no one's moving. Okay, sorry. this is bad. I'm sorry, you guys. Sorry, listeners.
It's all
right. The level scaling went from 4.25 to 4%, and it must be in a patch note somewhere, but I always knew Zagara had lower scaling because she was considered an early game hero at 3% per level, but I didn't realize he had that little buff.
Mm.
That's not late. This percentage scaling thing, they need to put a big fat number in that. If it's in the info panel, I need to look for it to see if it's there. It should be stats in the select screen.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Can you explain?
Stuff scales out of control.
Explain to me even how it works, because I don't even think I totally understand.
Well, so when you hover over your characters in the hero select screen for quick match,
yeah,
it'll tell you what the damage of everything is.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the confusing part. Take Kael'thas. Hover over and find out how much damage Pyroblast does. I believe it's telling you the level 1 damage.
Mm.
So let's say it's 1,000.
Okay.
So you're like, oh, sweet, Pyroblast does 1,000. You don't get that talent and that ultimate till 10. So it's not 1,000 damage at level 10. You've gained 10 levels to get that. And every level, your character's significant stats, I'm not even sure what they all are, like health, mana, maybe auto attack damage, increases by a factor. I think the average, the most frequent one is 4. Mm. I think almost all the
is baseline.
And almost all the characters have 4%.
Right.
Now, there are some exceptions where this is tuned differently. Zagara, I think, had 3% for the longest time. And it was big deal in the last balance patch that they moved her back to 4%. And now she's insanely strong. And same deal, I guess, here is he was 4.25%. That's important. So that's always the frustrating thing about when you're reading abilities on the Hero Select screen. It's like, this does 50 damage. Yeah, but it's going to do a lot of damage at level 12 when you're really going to get online, or level 13 when you're going to get online and pick a talent at level 13 that improves it. So having at least that information be transparent for those of us who want to make some, I don't mind whipping out a calculator and finding out, what does Power Blast do at level 10 if that's how they need to display it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so all the characters in the game have a level scaling factor, and it's a big deal when a hero has lower or higher on a character.
Right.
So a good way to look at it, Scott, is if a character typically scales lower than 4%,
mm-hmm.
what you're seeing is typically a character that has a lot of ability power right up front. They would be considered, maybe without the scaling, very strong right out the gate.
Mm.
They scale slower because if they scaled faster, they would be, you know, very powerful kind of throughout the game. By scaling slower, they ramp up at a slower rate than other heroes around them.
Mm.
So that's why Bo mentioned with Zagara, lower scaling means Zagara is more in line with the other characters at the start of the match. Whereas you look at a character, I think it got mentioned in the chat, Butcher, who scales, who has a higher scaling rate. Butcher actually has a hard time in the early game because he's got to collect his meat. He's got to figure that out. He's got to take care of that. So he scales at a higher rate to kind of keep him acceptable in the early game, where he typically would struggle. So it shifts. It's another number that they can tweak back and forth, but it's basically there to help adjust a character's power throughout the length of the game.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I would also like to see these numbers then. Like, I think that's a great thing. I wonder if this data exists anywhere. If Blizzard's not giving it to us, is there any other way to glean that? Has anybody else done math and figured out, Li Ming has way slower scaling than, or way smaller percentage scaling than I don't know who else I could think of. Karazim, who probably punches harder later on. I'd be very curious about that. But it doesn't sound like we know, so who knows?
The only two I know about, the only one I knew about was Zagara, actually. And now this makes two I'm aware of, although Phoenix no longer counts.
Mm.
So if there's another one, I don't know. Mm. It's going to be a Google search in just a second.
Yeah. So you can, I'm on Heroes Hearth as just a website, for example, and it does list under the vital scaling. And I think that's general overall scaling. Like if they change it to where it's not uniform across the board, which is what we're seeing them do with Phoenix here and now, that stat may not be accurate, but it will show the scaling for the hero on their page.
Okay.
I would imagine Hots Logs probably shows it as well.
Well, there you go. Maybe something to be gleaned there. Zul'jin is getting his Imani Rage baseline. Someone explain that to me. I don't play him. Why is that good?
Imani Rage is a talent, I believe, at level 7. Could be 4. I can't remember. I don't know if I'm the link. But it's a talent that basically what it does is it cuts your health down by 50% of what you have, I believe. So if you have full health, you'll drop to 50%. 50% is an important number for Zul'jin because certain talents come online. But it can also be used to bring your HP down to minimal, which helps increase things, say, like Guillotine.
Mm.
Guillotine's damage is significantly increased the less health you have. But so sometimes you want to use your Guillotine or use your abilities and you have 75% health and you're not taking damage. So this talent is a neat little trick to cut your damage, cut your health, drop it really low, and then it self-heals over time. So let's say, let's just assume for a second you drop to 1 HP.
HP. The talent will drop you to 1 HP, and then will have an effect similar to tapping a well to heal a certain amount back up. So you have a window, which you could be killed, but you can also use your spell power abilities, and then it climbs back up, or your auto attacks at high attack speed.
Okay.
So basically they were saying, like, everyone's just taking this talent because it's so useful, it'll never not be picked.
Mm.
Like, it just has to either not be a talent or be baseline, and they went with baseline.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it increases, it's a level 4 talent, and it no longer, it used to grant armor as well. It doesn't say how much healing here, but I'm sure it's I think it's the same amount you lost, actually. It's just like temporary health loss.
Mm.
So, interesting thing to know.
Another,
I don't know if I love it, but it does make sense.
Mm. How do you like this one? Every time there's a WAT here, I can tell someone's getting excited. Anna, her shrike now applies doses to structures. How does that work?
Yeah. Well, no, these whats are like, what? So I'm all for understanding that game mechanic, because this is me putting what? Yeah. Like, Amani Rage, what? Like, it's like, I'd like some things to make some sense. And you know how game mechanics make sense? Like, I throw a knife, so it does piercing damage and not bludgeoning damage.
Sure.
The piercing damage, like, there's a purpose. Piercing makes sense. This is D&D talk, though. But it makes sense in your brain. You're like, yes, it's a knife. It pierces flesh. Of course, it's piercing damage.
Right.
But it's like taking a knife and saying, well, if you hit with the hilt, it does, I don't know, wood damage? Like, what? It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't resonate. And so I find, like, a character who can just hurt themselves, cripple themselves just for no reason, weird. And now Anna has in her gun these syringes, I think. I think they're syringes that she shoots at people, and it puts a dose in them. So it'll put a dose of healing on allies, or it'll put a dose of poisony or sleepy stuff on enemies.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes logical sense that one of these syringes can't get injected to, say, a stone tower and poison it. But that's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I get what they're trying to do here. Shrike right now also applies a self-heal, which is a great little upgrade. Doesn't make sense, but willing to suspend disbelief to help make Anna a better character. But this one was like, really? So anyway, she gets her dot on structures and she gets to heal off of it, presumably. So
here's what I imagine. Mm. I imagine that whatever she's shooting people with is corrosive.
Mm.
And when she shoots it at a building, the little injector breaks and the corrosive juices hit the bricks and it starts to melt the bricks.
I like it. I like her. I like that. That's pretty good.
Okay. Canon now.
No. That's, as far as I'm concerned,
horrifying when it comes to people, though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you better hope there are no actual people around.
I mean, she's shooting you with needles is what I'm envisioning for people. Like, she sucks. I'd be terrified of her. I don't like needles.
She's scary. I don't like her at all. What else? Zagara, minor numbers nerf. Looks like more could be coming if she doesn't behave. Doesn't behave touch. What does that mean? She doesn't behave touch.
I think he meant though.
Oh, though.
Wait, what?
It says more could be coming if she doesn't behave touch.
Yeah, I meant okay.
He's just typing about Zagara and thinking about touching.
So Cassia is another example of a character I've seen a lot lately I have a chance to play a ton this week, but it seems like almost every other game I'm in, there's a Cassia on the other team, or a rando on my team is playing Cassia. So I don't know why the sudden uptick in her, but she's had a change. Seraph's Hymn now grants 100% bonus damage to blinded targets. That sounds like a buff. Also, why is she getting played so much more? I felt like she was like one of those characters that disappeared from view forever and we might never see her again. Any theories as to the rebirth of Cassia, everyone's favorite?
I think Cassia
Diablo 2 character
was just birthed.
You think so?
I think like, look, we did the show and I was like, Cassia's so boring, I don't play her.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I decided, hey, I'm gonna go queue building and play some quick matches, and I'm like winning every game, just shredding the enemy tanks.
Hmm.
She's amazing. I think she falls under the hasn't seen a lot of changes like Thrall has, and is really strong. And the only thing that makes her uncomfortable to play is her low attack range. I think it's like 4.5 or 4. So she has to get really close to do the auto attack thing. But she's tough. I think the trick with her is I just stop using E. I just pretend it's not there.
Wow.
Unless I need to escape, or unless it's like so safe. Because the problem with, so her trait is that she takes less damage if she's moving. So why do I press the button that says, I'm not moving, hurt me? Like, it's not worth it. It's just a little cone in front. I'm like, I'll just stay moving and la-di-da with my spears. And it's really effective. It's improved my results with her.
You make me want to play her when you talk about it this way.
I'm a fan of Cassia now. I like playing her.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I think there's some element of people haven't seen her in a while, too. And so you get surprised and you haven't built up the motor skills to deal with her because you haven't seen her in so long. So she does the rush in and she's just stabbing you repeatedly and you just go, ah, what's this? And you walk the long way out of it and take as much damage as humanly possible because we just haven't built that muscle memory to deal with her yet of, okay, well, we'll just sidestep around you and stun you or whatever we got to do. Mm-hmm. And also, like Bo said, I think people are playing her smarter where they're using that ability just to quickly finish people off as opposed to, that's my cool opener to do a lot of damage and get myself killed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't complain if they just took E out and did a rethink and did something different.
Mm.
Honestly, it's not so amazing, even graphically, that it's like, oh, we have to keep this. I just don't like that she has to sit still on a character that's designed for her to keep moving.
Yeah.
I think the idea is it's a trade-off. Is it worth standing still to do a bunch of damage? And it's like, I don't want to. I don't want to make this choice. Actually, it sounds like an interesting choice on paper and in a design room, I'm sure. Mm. Even now, I admit.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
In game, I never want to do it. Wow. I don't even want to make the choice.
All right. Cassia, yeah. More mobile than ever in Bo's everyday life. Maiev, Warden's Cage only lasts 5 seconds instead of 7. It's a little bit of a ding-a-ringo. Targeted talent buffs. That seems good to someone who won't woo here. That's probably Bo also.
Yeah, it's woo. It's not a misspelling.
Yeah. You like that then?
So we're not going to go over every single change. They're small.
Yeah.
But they are targeted to talents, and they all generally appear to increase her power from my review, except for Warden's Cage, which honestly, 7 seconds is a ton of time. So I don't think this will be a big deal.
So, but, John, you've been playing her a lot. Any of that ring exciting for you?
Yeah, I think overall this is probably pretty good. I did take Cruel Chain at level 16, which saw a pretty significant nerf. But I understand, you know, they're trying to build talent diversity there, so that's fine. Overall, I think these are probably good. I did think that cage stayed up a little long, but I also kind of liked it because you could kind of use it as a weird zoning tool. And you could use it in different ways, but 5 seconds is still a really long time for that to be out there. So
yeah,
I think it's good.
Seven seconds is, I mean, what's the longest ability in the game? I don't think anything's much longer than that, right?
Yeah, like this game is so fun because you hear 7 seconds to 5 seconds, and it seems like such a short thing, but in Hero's time, that's an eternity.
Oh yeah, it's the worst.
5 seconds of something, it's just like, oh, what are you gonna go do, bake a cake in the time you're in that cage? Ridiculous.
I mean, mosh pit's not that long. Nothing, I don't think anything's that long that I can think of. 5 seconds, maybe Arthas's ultimate thing where he sends his dragon out and puts ice on everybody. That's pretty long.
Sindragosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff feels long.
It's pretty long, but it's a different kind of long. I don't know.
Let's see how long is ETC's mosh pit, because that does feel like...
Mosh pit, I think, is 4 seconds.
4 seconds. And that feels like an eternity when you're trapped in it.
It really does.
The problem is, like, you have to allow some time for the heroes to walk to the wall and push the people in, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see how it plays out for her. Urel getting some changes. Her first, in fact. By the way, stay around at the end of the show, everybody. We're going to very rapid fire at the end of the show give away 4 Urel codes Brand new. You're
four of the luckiest people.
Yeah.
On Twitch right now. Oh my god.
If y'all don't have Urel yet, and you're thinking, man, I sure could use a goat lady tank, then I got some really good news for you, because four of you will randomly walk away with a code a little bit later. If you already have her, we'll give her to whoever doesn't have her. But that's going to happen here in a bit. So stay after the show. We'll do it right after the credits roll before we start our games. Anyways, you're getting your first changes. Divine Purpose or Trait, cooldown reduced from 10 seconds to 8 seconds. Avenging Wrath or E, damage from 150 to 225.
At level 1, not with scaling.
Okay.
So at level 10.
All right.
At level 10, it's 4% plus 4% plus 4%, so whatever it is.
Or whatever hers is, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a big jump. It's a big jump.
It's pretty big. Yeah, seems big. Yeah. At least in the beginning. All right, level 7, Righteous Movement, her W. Urel is no longer slowed while channeling Righteous Hammer. That seems good. Bonus movement speed reduced from 40% to 25%. Got a big no from Bo on that one. Or maybe yeah, John.
It's a really interesting. That's a really interesting talent that I have a lot of fun with, because it'll... In its original form, once you fully charged up your hammer, you could run at 45% movement speed. Mm. It's faster than mounted, and nothing short of a stun or a silence could... I don't even think it's... Well, silence probably can break it. But it felt good to truck around. But there were some problems with it. Notably, you couldn't use D, because D makes it everything instant cast. Mm. So we're getting a lot of benefit there. But one of the interesting complaints that we've seen a lot of is, why is Yidel being slowed when she's charging up? Mm. So the key thing, I mean, it's a trade-off. So she doesn't get slowed. And I'm interested to see how that feels, not being slowed while channeling the hammer. So the 50% she loses, she gains in not being slowed down. You know, you're chasing someone down, let me hammer you. Oh, I got a cramp in my leg. I hope I can keep up. You know, like it's not gonna be like that, so maybe it feels better. I don't know. But I loved running at 40% movement speed. There's no feeling quite like it, and she was the first to deliver it.
You zipped around really good. I do think that on paper, at least, again, we gotta see how it works out. This feels like this is going to be a win. Because you typically wanna hit that button, zip around to the other side, and smack them back into your team. Like, that's the move you're looking to do. And when you started the charge and are moving slow and people go, oh, I'm getting out of here, and would run away from you, you, even with the increased speed, it turned into this kind of long, drawn-out chase, because they'd start to run away and you'd be going slow, slow, slow. Then you'd be going faster than them, but you'd still be gaining over time. And the ability to make a play off of it is gone at that point.
Yeah, they get a head start.
Now you can actually, you know, use your D, leap over them, instantly have the hammer, adjust how you want, and smack them back to your team. Like, that's a fairly easy move to pull off now. And that's exactly what you want to do with her.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool.
Using your D to leap.
Use your D to leap.
D to leap. I love hearing that and saying it. It's great.
There's a show title, D to Leap.
It's pretty good. All right, there's other stuff. Lots of little things, like we said. If you want to read up on all that, go check it out. We're not going to go through each little thing, but you'll get to see in our games later whether or not any of this affects
you. You don't want to hear that Tracer's attack damage was nerfed from 28 to 27 or something?
I do not want to hear that, no. I don't want to hear about that. That makes me super sad. And I was just thinking about her this week and that I should be dusting her off a little bit and playing a little Tracer, getting her back in my life. And this is not great news. I don't want to hear about her nerfs.
It's 1 point of damage.
Still, though, that'll add up, man. Think about the whole game. Minus 1%.
Two things I will add before we move on from patch notes, because I think they're probably worth mentioning very quickly.
Okay.
Johanna, there's been a lot of contention that because of the armor changes, she's in a real bad place. She saw a health and health regen boost. Who knows if it's enough, but worth mentioning to people who've been worried about Johanna. And the other thing that I think is worth mentioning, which you'll probably find out one way or another, is Volskaya Foundry is now back in the ranked play battleground pool.
Why do they... I assumed it was what was it taken out for? Do we know?
I think it was just out of the rotation.
Oh. Because that was quick.
It's saying to the ranked play Battleground pool, which I believe the new Alterac map was not in that, so maybe it was leaving them with an even more limited pool than normal. I don't know. Mm. But anyway, it's back. So you have another map you can potentially play on. I actually kind of like that map. So
I do too.
Good on.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. All right, let's talk about this part two of the Heroes of the Storm comic thing. Now with 100% more Deckard Cain, he is all up in this thing. In fact, chat room, I'm going to show you just the front here. As you can see, our buddy Deckard Cain got a nice logo in his hands. And he's smelling it, I think, is what he's doing there. Just taking a big whiff. Oh, this smells weird, he's saying.
That's how he gains his knowledge.
Yeah. I haven't read it yet. I would like to know opinions of anyone here who has read it. So who's read it, and did you like it?
I have read it.
Yeah? What'd you think?
I did.
I was a little, we'll say, underwhelmed on the first issue. I think what I said at the time was, the whole strength of this world is that you have access to all the Blizzard characters for storytelling purposes. And so in your first comic, you put none of the characters we know in it. And that was maybe a little disappointing. This definitely feels like a step in the right direction, because now we've got Deckard Cain wandering around. But again, I still feel like they're not leveraging their value, which is, we can see Deckard Cain hang out with Tracer and be like, you're weird. Like, I want to see those interactions, you know. That's what we look for in the cinematics, and obviously we're not going to always get new cinematics all the time. It takes a while. Yeah. So comics are a really good way to kind of make up for that and show it. This one's just kind of got Deckard in it. It introduces a new character called Orphea.
She's the little blonde girl.
Yeah, yeah. She's the little anime-looking girl.
She's very
anime. Oh, yeah, it does eventually go on to include the, what is she, the Queen of Thorns? Lady of Thorns?
Lady of Thorns, but they say her name, but I want to say it's Alexandria, but I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
And she calls her that, well, I don't know why they call her that, but at one point she takes her glove off and her hand's got, is all thorny.
Yeah, they've got a disease.
Yeah.
Because I think her husband is the Dragon Knight.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so he has turned to stone, and she is turning to stone.
Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, they've taken the Dragon Knight and made him like a... That's great. That's great.
He's one of them.
Wow. That is some...
He's a character.
That is some retcon storytelling. I like it. I'm totally down with it. This looks like he's traveling around. Do they talk about that Deckard Cain is dead in here?
No, he doesn't acknowledge it.
Okay, so...
But he probably wouldn't know, right? Because he got pulled out of a world where he hadn't died yet.
And he...
It brings up a good point.
Yeah.
At what point were these heroes pulled in?
Right.
Right? Right? So it's like, we get the other side. Like, they evaporated from their world, and now they're in this world. But it begs the question... Has Deckard Cain witnessed the events of Diablo 3, or is, you know, like, which thrall is this?
Well, a good point. No, but in Diablo 3, they really leaned into that whole idea that they were ripped from the world because they have those weapons that are drops. Like, Johanna's got a weapon in there that says last seen in the possession. I can't remember how it was described, but something about... She was taken.
I know
from
what you're
us
talking and, about, though. It references the Nexus in there, for
right?
Sure.
So those kinds of, I really like it when they do that, but it feels like maybe that's they've set themselves up for having to retcon even further. But
yeah, Murky definitely came in after Legion because we taught him everything he knows in the Legion expansion and WoW.
That's like, right.
That's canon. We helped build his arsenal. We had to go collect pufferfish for him. That's how he knows how to do
it. Out in Morheim, right?
Was it Morheim?
Isn't there a part of Legion called Morheim?
Oh yeah, yeah. Like there's a subsection of what's the Viking-ish one?
Stormheim. Yeah.
There is an area called Morheim. This is kind of dumb. It's fine. I mean, it's great. Why wouldn't you?
I think that's the kind of thing they're like, hey, look at all these Heims we're adding.
Yeah. Well,
our CEO's named Mike Morheim. Let's
name it Morheim. Yeah. He comes from.
Let's give him a butte. Named after him.
A fjord.
It's basically a fjord and a butte. or a butt. Anyway, what are we saying? Oh yeah, so there's that. It's cool. I'm gonna read it. I'll read it. Of course I will. I read the first one, and of course I'll read this. But I mean, John, after reading it, do you feel like it's just? I mean, how do you feel about the direction overall? Like, is this gonna? You feel strong about where this is leading? That this may take us somewhere cool? Like, your feeling there?
It's good. I you know, it seems to be right now what they're trying to set up is that this is why we do battle with each other. Like, that seems to be the story they want to tell, is this is why you go beat up the enemy's core. And that seems to be what they're trying to explain right now. And I think it's probably very much in line with what I had kind of kept in my own head about all of this. So there is an element of, oh, okay, it is kind of what I thought it was. But again, I think for me, I'm waiting for that moment where weird characters who shouldn't interact.
Right.
Like, that's what I'm waiting for to get out of the story, is I want to see dumb interactions.
I have put in our Discord chat, and I'm showing now to the chat room, a horse I'm concerned about.
Why?
I don't think this looks right at all. And
it's a little big.
It's a little big. The little tiny person is sitting way up on, I don't know where, on the neck of that thing. The way the butt is split there is a little, like, there's an anatomical problem. The leg that should be in the background is leaning kind of M.C. Escher style into the foreground a little too much on those front legs. I have serious issues with this horse.
I think it's okay.
I think it's bad.
Maybe I have changed my tune as to what I expect quality-wise after reading some of the other comics that Blizzard has put out.
Yeah.
There's a particular one where I kind of went, oh, that's a artistic decision that they made. I wasn't big on the art in issue one. I actually think it's a lot better here. I actually really like the art overall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I do too. It's a nice style.
Maybe some horses that you don't like very much aside, I think the art overall is very good.
Yeah.
But it's also a very subjective thing.
They might just have big horses too, though.
Yeah, these are true. Nexus horses.
I mean, they can't explain all the lore. Sometimes they just throw it out there, like they have unusually large war horses.
Yeah. I mean, if they wanted to really go for it, they could do all the goofy mounts we have in the game. And like, you're riding on a big eyeball there. Is what you got there, Alarak? Yes, it's a perfect mode of transportation.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, they got clown outfits. Oh. They got freaking, we ever going to see Murden come out and go, hey, look at me and my ice cream looking thing I'm wearing. Like,
Ice cream Murden needs to be in one of these. Oh, my gosh.
It's not going to happen. They're so taking bad. It so seriously. There's no way they do that. I want them to.
Wait, but these could potentially be skins. The last comic we had, the Nexus dudes appeared as skins.
Yeah, that's true.
So this horse could actually appear.
Maybe we'll get a giant malformed horse.
Maybe it's bigger than the normal model.
It looks like it's Tetsuo from freaking Akira after he starts stretching around. That is a bad looking horse. It's not a good horse.
The only one wearing a different kind of thing is Alexandria. What's her name? I'm looking at the comic now, trying to figure her name out.
Alexander.
The Lady of Thorns.
Oh, it doesn't say her real name in it? I thought she did.
I don't know. Everywhere I've looked. One of the pages isn't even loading for me, so it's I can't even see Scott's thick horse except in the picture he shared. So, it's fine.
Look at that horse. Who's on that
I'm
horse?
Curious
who
Orphea
that?
Is. I'm curious if she's going to be a realm lord or if she's going to be something.
I think she might be a hero.
Yeah, so you think she's going to be like the Nexus's first original hero? So
she's got a coffin strapped to her back.
Uh-huh, so she's straight out of Trigun, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So there's a story there that I don't think we ever find out what's in the container. She stole it from the Raven Lord, I think.
Oh.
There's a coffin. We don't know what's in there. Like, there's a panel here of Alexandria petting Orphea on the head, not being like... you can take the coffin off now. You've been in my kingdom for like a week. This is like, what's this girl's deal? She just carries a coffin around.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal. But there's a sense that she could potentially be a hero.
Sure.
And there was a thread post a little while ago where someone had posted some file names suggesting that this character's name has been in there prior to the comic being released, and it could be an event or something. I don't know.
It's really?
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And it's not conclusive. There's no definitive, like, yes or no on this one. But she's not positioned as a realm lord, and she's not an existing announcer. Lady of Thorns, Raven King fit that description, or Raven Lord. I guess there was the older lady from the first comic, and no one said that about her. Yeah. She's an old. completely, you know, young anime girl. She might be here on Here's the Story. Old woman. What? Yeah. I forgot who that was immediately.
We got Anna and Deckard. Deckard's even in this comic. Old people can help too.
Deckard transcends age. I mean, really, he's a icon. But for the most part, you know, everyone was just like, who's this lady? Anyways, whatever.
I was shocked.
Oh, I think everyone was like, is this old Chromie?
Because she did kind of look like Chromie. Shocked to see that they're pushing the Raven Lord towards being a bad guy. I kind of like the Raven Lord, so I'm surprised that they're making him the villain of the piece, because I kind of like him.
Who would you rather?
I think they're all villains.
Well, yeah, they all seem like it, but who, like the Gravekeeper guy, that's your preferred villain?
Yeah, that should definitely be a villain. That guy's a schlub. He subjects us to his map. Yeah. That makes him a villain right there. That's really the only reason I thought the Raven Lord was a good guy, was I like his maps.
Right. I can see that. By the way, I'm going to show you one other thing I really don't like. Just real quick here. There's this use of Photoshop and Boss tools for this.
I hate that
so bad. I mean, look, I'm the wrong guy to be looking at this. The thing down at the bottom says Days Later or Alterac Pass. They use the same effect, but I mean, that's just like bevel emboss, copper plate bold font. Whatever. I'm too picky. I know. I'm too picky.
It's fine.
It's fine. You're right.
It's fine in both ways. It's fine that you don't like it, and it's fine that they did it.
I agree. I completely agree. All right, Bo. Bought $100 Canadian in gems last week and spent all of it. Hold on a second. What does $100 in Canadian dollars buy on the...
I don't remember. It's like 8 or 9,000 gems or something like that.
That seems too much for that many.
So the Alterac... I meant to throw this in last week, but we had so much... I can't remember. It just fell by the wayside, I guess. But like...
Last week's show was weird.
I still like all the skins. So comparatively to the Nexomania event... I was A, ready for this one,
yeah,
and B, liked everything in it, and C, thought about my payment options because everything was broken up nice and neatly. And I looked at everything and said, I want it all, and I bought the I want it all bundle. I think there was one.
Yeah.
Then I had leftover money, so I bought all the Yodel skins and one other bundle of something.
So
it was great. I spent all of it.
What does that cost in US? What's the translation there? Do you know?
$130.
$130 US? It's cheaper for you?
Let me go to sexy.com.
Sexy.
Or XE. Letter X, letter E.com.
I was gonna say, no wonder Bo's internet's struggling today.
Yeah.
What is too much sexy?
Oh, sorry, it's the other way around. It's $75 US.
Oh, okay. That sounds more right. By the
way, that's honestly, I think I spent roughly that between Nexomania and this. Actually, I probably spent more than that because I did the experiment on Nexomania that really came back to bite me in the butt.
Which was what?
Man, Blizzard only got $75 and I spent $100 in it. I hate currency conversion.
I know, it sucks. So if you start looking at that, it'll irritate you unless you're on the better end of the deal, which I don't know who is these days. I mean, I guess you guys are always a little bit more up there, or at least it seems like it, but it's
our
whatever.
Dollars are worth less.
Yes.
So I always get bonus money when I change it to American.
Who's on your $1 bill up there? Who do you got up there on there? Who's the picture? Who's the guy?
I know I lose money when I change it. I always get bonus money when I get American. Who's on our money?
Yeah.
All kinds of people.
Canadian.
Yeah, but we want to know on like the equivalent of a $1 bill.
Yeah. $1 bill.
Oh, it's a loony. A loony on the loony.
What is that? Like Daffy Duck?
We do too, but his name's Andrew Jackson.
Oh, a loon.
A loon.
Right. Oh, a loon.
It's
okay.
It's a loon. We have a buck on a quarter.
Yeah.
Like a beer buck.
A buck on a quarter. Not confusing.
Sailboat on a dime.
Well, here it is. It's the queen.
It's on the actual money, it's queen. We have other people too.
Yeah, but the queen's on there, and then you got the there's another one. You have another dollar with a dude on it.
Donald, and I don't know any other prime ministers. Who cares about Canadian prime ministers? I'm not good with politics, you guys.
Oh my gosh, some of these guys. This is great. I don't know enough about Canadian money. Maybe
Johnny McDonald.
Yeah. This the Colonel. Oh my God. Colonel Sanders is on there.
Yep, he's there.
The annoying lady from across the street on Bewitched, I think, is on one of these. Oh, there's a Toonie. Or Looney, whatever you call him. Well, anyway. This has been
I don't
fun.
Remember who else is on the monies.
Yeah. Well.
They're just like old white people.
There's a chaotic nature to it. I like it. They were like, I don't know, put something on.
I kind of like it too.
Check. Oh, here I have the names. It's Wilfrid Laurier, John A. MacDonald. MacDonald, Queen Elizabeth II, William Lyon Mackenzie King. I think you just call him Mackenzie King. Names. And okay. Robert Borden.
I don't know why those sound so plain. They just do.
I know. It's just our like prime ministers a group are of neighbors that got together and were like, talk about money?
When Americans talk about their president, they're like, oh man, this president is amazing, or he was a villain. Like, they're always infamous.
Yeah, they tend to get a little, and we get dramatic.
Like,
yeah.
The ones that I know aren't on money. Like, I know about Trudeau's dad.
Right. He was the other Trudeau.
I can't remember his first name right now.
Pierre, wasn't it? Pierre Trudeau, I think.
Oh, that's it. Pierre Trudeau.
Yeah. Right. I don't know why I know that.
Scott, know, better Trudeau. In Canada than both.
There's Brian Mulroney, and Jean Chrétien. I saw him give a speech, a commencement speech at university.
His last name,
Jean Chrétien.
Yeah, his last name sounds like you're spitting something. Doesn't sound like a name.
It's French, Chrétien. Chrétien. Oh. It means Christian, I think, in English. Or I think it's, no, never mind. I made that up. That was a play I was working on. Never mind. But, like, I was working on a fictional character based on Jean Chrétien called Jean Christian, but it wasn't in the literal translation. I just made that up. But then in my head, I said,
we
oh, no,
are
that's fact.
Deep in this anyway, rabbit hole, right?
Whatever.
Tell me about your sweet play.
Jean Chrétien is great because he punched a guy out while he was prime minister.
Man, John, didn't you say the words earlier? Last week was a weird show. I think this is a weird show. I think this is the weird one, actually.
I feel like Bo heard that and took it as a challenge. He's like, let me tell you about my play.
Well, here's the nice thing, Bo.
I didn't want to plug my play.
No. One of these days, I do want to hear about your play. That's an honest truth.
It never got written. It was notes.
But you were writing a play?
Yeah, I've written several plays.
What?
None of which you've heard of, although a few have made production in like a local theater when I was in university.
What? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Bo, I love that. I didn't know this. I like to hear these things, but you're quite the journeyman here.
I'm a man of the theater.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Didn't you know I'm a playwright and a director? Artistic director of a theater troupe here in Ottawa.
I mean, no wonder you're good at DMing. You're like, you got it in you to run the show.
Yeah, so at university, I studied theater as my undergrad. I just didn't graduate, so I don't identify as a university graduate.
Right.
I spent 4 years in the university environment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. See, I didn't know any of this. How did we learn these things on the air? It's crazy.
Yeah, this is good. I'm glad we did it.
Did you feel like your $100 is well spent? Is the point? Your $100 toonies.
Yes. Loonies.
Yeah.
Like, it depends which side of Bo you're asking. The part that's like give money to heroes because I like this game and I want to fund it support. Yes. The side of me that's like you didn't really actually buy anything. No, I hate all free-to-play games.
Right.
I think it's stupid, but it's the world we live in.
But it's the game you love, and so you're going to support it.
I want access to the stuff. The game's designed, you know, and if I like the game, I want access to the stuff. I got to pay the monies.
It makes perfect sense. Totally get it. All right. Well, there's that. Finally, before we go, I have a quick piece of trivia to share with you guys before we go to our email. And it goes like this, okay? There's some Heroes of the Storm trivia you may not know. I should have music for this. Hold on a second. Because this is too good to not have something. How about... No.
My dear...
wait. Took so long for Scott to get to the...
No, that's not... That's football. Let's see.
I'm excited.
I can't find a good... let me just... That's the old instance theme. Okay, here we go. All right. All right, we have some trivia for you. in the world of Heroes of the Storm. See if you guys knew this. Alarak's Discord Strike is named for one of John Delancey's previous roles. Extra illusion points for being his Q ability. You get it? Do you understand Q? Have you seen The Next Generation, Bo?
I get the Q, but where does the Discord come from? Oh, because he throws Discord.
Yes, that is correct. That's the they named it after that because of him, because he was the voice.
Causes Discord.
How about this one? Zul'jin being a Tony Montana, or Montagna, I don't know how you say it, shout out is fitting since Andre Sogaluguzu, who voiced Tony Montagna's Scarface, the world is yours. So the guy who did the voice acting for Tony Montana, and also did the voice for Zul'jin, that's where that reference comes from. These are really great. Stick with me here. I got more.
Are you mixing Joe Mantegna with Tony Montana?
I probably
am.
His
name in that movie really is like Montana. Like, it's not...
It's not Montana, okay. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Montana.
How about this one? Ascended Fanon. What does that even mean? I gotta look that up.
A Fanon that has been elevated above all the other Fanon around it.
After much clamoring from the fans, Blizzard announced that Asmodunk's legendary skin on March 10th, 2016. People have been making jokes about worker unit heroes in the game since its release. Cue the appearance of Probius and the Probius droid. What does that have to do with anything? I don't know what. This is written terribly. Let me keep moving here. We got another one. Celebrity voice actor El Guapo, the announcer for Nexomania, is voiced by Arturo El Rudo Riviera, a famous Lucha Libre commentator. These are terrible. Okay, let's try this one.
That's fine.
No, I know, but we knew that already, didn't we? We kind of knew that.
We did know that.
All right. Let's see. Samuro is also the name of the lead singer of the Torn Chieftains, who is also performed by Samwise Didier. We knew this. However,
that one we knew. Yeah.
The Blade Master makes it clear that they are two different people. So,
is this from IGN?
Nope, somewhere else.
somewhere else.
All right, got one more.
Give your sources. You just.
Well, I'm now embarrassed by this source because these aren't as good as I thought they were going to be.
No, they've been fine. They've been all right.
Scott went to sexy.com and was like, hey, there's a Heroes article.
There were a couple in there that I didn't exactly follow the writing. Yeah. Hard to say if it was in how it was read or in how it was written, but I think they've been okay.
Okay, how about this? How about this? Voice actors in the game who do two characters or more. All right? This will be fun for you.
Okay, I know Matt Mercer, he does Ragnaros and Rhaegar.
He does Ragnaros and Rhaegar, that is correct. Okay. Laura Bailey does both Vala and Jaina. I did not know she did Vala, that was news to me. Michael McConaughey does King Arthas and Uther and Zul and Kel'Thuzad. That dude's busy.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah,
he's also in Samurai Champloo. I reckon Uther, it's like when you start hearing Uther in your anime, you're like, oh my god.
Isn't Artanis and Garrosh the same guy?
Hold on. Artanis.
I don't know where I heard that, but I heard that.
Oh yeah, here it is. Patrick Setz, however you say it, does Crown Prince Arthas, Artanis, Garrosh, and Cho. That's crazy.
First class seats.
Steve Bloom does Abathur, Butcher, Rexxar, and Dahaka. Gray DeLizzi, I don't know how you say that name, does both Nova and Lei Ming. Chris Metzen, as we know, does both Thrall and Varian. Matthew Mercer, Rhaegar and Ragnaros, you mentioned that. And finally, Michael Gulch does both Tassadar and Deckard Cain. Did you know that?
Interesting.
I didn't know he was Tassadar.
I didn't know that.
Sorry, there's a link, though.
I've fooled you all! I am also Deckard Cain. I would have never guessed that.
I just want to hear Deckard Cain quickly transition into Tassadar. If he's just like, hello, friend, stay a while and listen to me! Just all of a sudden yelling.
Anyway, I got this. I'll tell you my sources. I found it on TVTropes.org, which I love a lot for other things, but they had a whole area of trivia on Heroes of the Storm. And what it is they connect tropes from TV and movies and how they're used in the game Heroes of the Storm. That one with the various actors is called Talking to Himself on both ways, let's see, with some role reprisal. So Talking to Himself and role reprisal are forms of TV tropes that they say are in effect here because people are playing two characters or more. Anyway, I thought it was gonna, when I read this earlier, it seemed really interesting. Now
it was good.
Now I'm closing this tab and never looking at it again.
I don't know why you didn't think it went well. I
don't know.
It went fine.
I don't know.
I think I want this section to come back again and this music to be used. I think this music really sets the mood here on Korra.
Yeah. Oh, look, it's perfect timing. See, it just ends very nicely. Super, look, it's like we just finished our dance. It's time to go home. We will kiss at the doorstep, and your parents nice. Will never know you were gone.
I don't know. You've been posting some weird GIFs lately from one of your accounts from old movies, and they are weirding me out.
Those ones I put up yesterday are all weird, and they're all from, they were actually for Current Geek, and I captured stuff from Singing in the Rain, of all things. This old.
Did you do any editing to them, or no. That's how it actually looks in the movie?
That's how they look.
Like nightmare fuel.
Yeah, that guy, the guy that like yells and gets up in the crowd and makes a face, horrifying.
One where people are doing weird things with their hands and it's like so fast I don't even know what they're doing. They're just like, I'm just.
Yeah, next time you see Singing in the Rain, you'll know, you'll recognize it. All
that
right,
that was terrifying.
That was
good.
That was a good time. Good walk down memory lane there, folks. Now time for this. Whoops, this. Emails, that's right, emails. We got two of them. They came to us at core@heroesforyou.com. We got one from R. Dunn, who says, this is not Heroes related in the least, but the fact that you said Men in Tights is the worst movie Mel Brooks ever made floored me. How dare you? Keep up the good work, says R. Dunn.
I didn't say that.
No, but I did.
Something else.
I would like everyone to remember it wasn't just me. Who doesn't like Mel Brooks movies generally?
I like plenty of his movies.
Oh, I do too.
John, you were bagging on Mel Brooks just as bad.
Yes. And I like Mel Brooks, some of his movies as well. But I think you and I were full agreement on Men in Tights. I like Spaceballs more than you do, but I'm also not kidding myself. It's not a great movie.
I would say like Scott was the most hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the MVP of that match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I happen to
score it on the board.
Like one that's very popular. That's the problem. Mm. Like, there's
you got
not
most
a lot
mercenary
people...
captures on the Mel Brooks end.
Right. There's not a lot of people who are ready. I mean, this emailer is obviously one of them, but not a lot of people that are going to go to bat for Men in Tights, but a lot of people will go to bat for Spaceballs, as
it
turns out.
It does turn out that Spaceballs will get many defenders for whatever reason. People like that movie a lot. Cody wrote in, says, and here's a real email. Says, hey, Scott, John, and Bo, as much as I think... what? Can I call it a real email?
Now here's a real email.
Well, I just meant, you know, the other one was not really about Heroes.
For whatever
Sorry.
You said to
this is an email about Heroes, let's say that. Yes. Sort of. Actually, this one isn't exactly either. But he says, as much as I think you two gang up on Bo too much, I have to speak up against his labeling of the Horde as the straight-up bad guys. Okay, I want to address something before I continue. I don't think we gang up on Bo. Bo, do you feel like you get ganged up on ever? On
here.
But look, it happens on all of my shows that I do, not just this one, because if I'm left unchecked, apparently people believe it's not a good thing.
Right.
No, you're absolutely right. That is 100%. I'm in 100% agreement with you.
If I was left unchecked, you'd be hearing about Act 3 of my play about John Christian, the fictional Prime Minister of Canada, in this 9/11 based play that I was writing about a phone call to George. It was George Bush. Yeah, George Bush. At
Look,
the time,
it's you know. Like this.
I want to know
there,
about this
if we
play.
if we were given a trivia question. And it was, is oxygen important to human beings? And someone said false for their answer. It's not ganging up for everyone to be like, why'd you pick that?
Right. No, that's fair. But also, I just want to hear more about this play. I want to know more about the call between your fictional Prime Minister of Canada calling George Bush.
I mean, it was an idea I had during the 9/11 period of time where, you know, it was about a phone call to George Bush from the Canadian government, John Christian. They were planning it, but people had conflicting ideas about what to do. And I don't remember what the political conversation was at the time, but it resonated with me. And it was this whole thing leading up to this phone call that never actually happens.
because of drama and because someone's trying to usurp a political power. Blah, 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 blah. Three act play, three characters.
How long of a play? Like, how long would it take to do the play?
Wait a minute, we're three characters. We could
an hour to an hour and a half running time. I wasn't thinking about running time. I was thinking two acts or one act or three acts.
I want to be George Bush. Here's what you do. Give us
no. There's no George Bush. There's no George Bush.
Oh,
he is a character off the screen that gets referenced a bunch, I'm sure, but was not an actor.
Okay.
There was John Christian. There was another one. I think Paul Martin was another character. He was a pretender to the throne. He was a prime minister for a little bit of time, but I think it was only because Jacques Chirac retired for a little bit. You want to hear more about this?
I kind of think it's fascinating that you wrote a play. I want to know more about the play.
Scott and I right now are listening for what roles we want to request is basically what's happening right now.
I think it's great. I love this part, this side. I just didn't never know about this about you. It's like you guys finding out that I was a ballet dancer for 10 years.
I never succeeded as a playwright. So, you know, I put on a few stage productions and I stopped.
I love that you had that ambition, though. It's just a cool... It's a cool thing to do, to have had that experience. I think that's rad.
Yeah.
Did actors have to like do what you said and everything, and you would like direct them and all that?
Yeah, like I directed some plays that weren't written by me. We did Oleana by David Mamet. We did Goodnight Desdemona, Good Morning Juliet, Lovers by Brian Friel, all kinds of stuff. And I've done directing and staging and stuff like that.
That's really cool. I mean, yeah. I haven't done any of that.
We had an evening of original productions. I've worked just as the writer and let someone else direct, experience that anxiety. And part of it was I got a job. There was a local theater who had just opened up, and I got a job there managing their box office.
Yeah.
And there were weeks where the theater was dark. And I said, for a percentage of ticket sales, let me use the theater. And they said, like, sure. So I just staged my own stuff. Jin University had his whole theater to myself. It was an amazing experience.
That sounds so cool.
Yeah, and they were like, you know, low-end productions. They weren't, you know, but a lot of people worked for free and got experience acting outside of the university environment.
I've only ever done acting and ran a lighting board. That's all.
Some of the people I know are working in acting and in, you know, in Canadian television. Again, I don't think any of them have made it big in the States or anything like that, but, yeah.
That's really cool. So, look, I never did any of that stuff. I draw funny pictures and I say shit. That's what I do.
That's a talent I wish I had.
Well,
I said at the end of every Frog Pants Show bumper, I draw funny pictures and I say shit. This has been a Frog Pants production.
Look, I sat down to draw some There Will Be Dungeons fan art and I gave him about 20 minutes later. It looked like a 5-year-old could draw better than me. I was like, this is not my... time is better served elsewhere.
We all have our things, but that just, I don't know. There's an ambition to that that I admire, so that's pretty cool. One of these days, you'll have to, I don't know.
I have to start writing again, man.
You should start writing again. It's the internet. We could do a, a three-part YouTube mini-series.
Yeah.
We could do a core origin comic. We can make our own realm in the Nexus. That's allowed, right?
Smitty,
if you say so, yeah.
All Smitty in the chat wants is Benoit playing more horror games with John. Look, calm down, everybody. You'll get your thing one day. All right. Sorry, I never finished this email. He says, "Well, as a Horde fan, I do agree if you compared both sides equally. The Horde has done more bad things and committed more atrocities. When it comes to Alarak Valley, he is in the wrong. Valley is the home of the Frostwolves and settled there after being exiled from the old Horde. It is those dirty mountain dwellers, the dwarves, that decided the natives should be evicted for the resources that were in the valley. Even Hotz acknowledges when you pick a side that the Alliance wants resources and the Horde defends their home. Back in WoW, this helped contrast the battleground Warsong Gulch, where the Horde was making like a Captain Planet villain cutting down trees for the wood. So call the Horde the bad guys, fine, just not in relation to the battleground where the supposed good guys are clashing with the natives. Anyways, listen and always listen and thanks for all you do, Cody." So, Bo, your response. It's an atrocity. What he's saying is Alterac Valley, an atrocity perpetrated by the dwarven buttholes in the mountains, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't argue that they're both being buttholes in both these cases by the sounds of it.
That's a good pivot. I really like the way Bo turned that into like nowhere to go. So yes, let's agree that both are bad.
Yeah. I mean, if you really want to peel the layers back, World of Warcraft and all fantasy games, but in particular, WoW, I'm going to call it out. Some of the most race conscious, let's say race conscious, if not racist games, you know, like it's literally race war, the game. Like it's two factions of races that are diametrically opposed, and there's no racism in the game. But when you have to pick a character and your character belongs to a side, exception being the Pandaren, it's a race war. And so, you know, you could just look at the whole game and be like, dump it on its head.
That's a good point.
If yeah, that stuff but, is, you know, yeah. We don't think about those things. We're just enjoying a game and leave us alone. But, you know, if we want to go down that hole,
yeah,
that's what's at the bottom of the hole, is it's a big pile of racist stuff.
That's true, and it's easy to cherry pick one conflict from the overall war, the one like, battle.
Why can't they be an alliance orc?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why can't? Yeah,
are there no defectors apart from Gamora or Corona?
Yeah, she's back on the horde.
Yeah, she's back on the horde side. Horde side. Yeah. Also, horde side. She's because
I would be a dwarven horde. You know, horde. Beach.
Also, wasn't Garona? Yeah. Garona was only an orc in the movie. She's a half Draenei in the book, or in the book, in the games, right? Wasn't she? Or is that retcon now where she was an orc?
Yeah. I don't know. She's half some.
And given that a couple of decades have passed and that she's the only half of one race, like, there are no other, like, there's no, like...
Oh, there's sort of one. Caligos is technically a half elf when he's in his person form.
Okay, but he's a dragon, right?
I know he assumes the form of something.
You
gotta
take the dragon aspects. The dragon aspects have to come out of this conversation. That is a weekly thread on Reddit. Chromie isn't a real gnome. Put a gnome in the game, and it's like, oh my god, guys, get a grip.
Really? But is that a thing people are demanding?
It's a weekly thread or comment or something. It comes up often.
That's silly.
Isn't Alex Straza a real dragon?
But she's not a real human.
Not a real human is the point, yeah.
Yeah. But we have tons of humans in the game.
I was going to say, do we not have enough humans? There seems to be a shitload.
No one complaining about humans. It's the gnomes. The gnome fans want a real gnome.
Yeah, they want a real gnome.
Point out, excuse me, but Chromie's not a real gnome. We don't have one in the game yet. you know, and fair enough. But the point I'm trying to make is that, like, you know, there's after these decades, there's no, like, half Draenei, half... night elf. No, that's what's the weirdest combination.
Oh,
what's
the weirdest? Take a Tauren. Get a Tauren.
Goblin Tauren.
Goblin Tauren.
What is that? A goblin or a Torlin?
A Toblin. A Toblin.
Oh. Like, where's my mixed races? Stop adding new races. Let's add, you know, the product of interspecial lovemaking.
I desperately want to see a rendering of this goblin tauren combo. I think
there's a goblin gnome couple in the new book.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they gonna have a coitus and produce children?
Noblins?
I don't know. I don't want to give spoilers, so we'll say I don't know.
Chatroom says it should be called a Torbjorn. Nice.
Torbjorn is pretty good.
That was nice, Chad. Kilmarnock 1285 said that. Congratulations, well done. All right. Red Rocket Rick says, let's not play God here, people. Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. I like kind of.
It's not God for a Tauren to fall. I'm not playing God for a Tauren to fall in love with a goblin.
No.
I mean,
just
there was a period of time where I was convinced that what we needed the results of a Worgen gnome union, and they just turn into puppies when they transform.
Ooh, that's all right.
I think that's a pretty good idea.
That's all right. They seem kind of useless, but yes, I think that was not bad. Well, all right. Thank you, Cody and Ardun, for your emails. You can send your emails to core@heroesforyou.com, or you can do it on the website at heroesforyou.com. There's a little link that says contact us right up top. Just contact, boom, bam, bam. It's in my hands, and we have it here for the show. Whichever way you prefer is fine with us. All right. Like I said, don't leave when we hang up here because we're going to give some codes away. You're going to get your own fresh, hot copy of Urel in for at least four of you today. We've got some more that we're going to give away on the instance, and then a couple more maybe next week on this show. So We'll see how that goes. Also, next week, we're still trying to figure out what night we're going to do it, but because of the holiday here in the U.S., the 4th of July, we will not be having a show that night. So we don't know when yet, but we'll figure it out and get it on a different night that week. So watch for that, a little business there. And we're going to play games after this, so stick around if you want to watch that. Patreon.com/core show is where you can help support us. Thank you, everyone who does, and if you haven't done it, consider it. It's a great way to keep the lights on here at Core and support things you like. So go check that out. Again, patreon.com/core show. Heroes4you.com for everything else. That will do it for us, for me, for John, for Bo. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
That's a good question.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.